We're back with another episode.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed during the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler podcast series are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent any specific employer, organization, committee, or other group or individual. The primary purpose of this podcast series is to educate and inform. This podcast series does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services.
It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off. It's the Face Off. It's the Face Off. Spread love, spread light, and don't forget to laugh your face off.
You don't come here for the facts. You come here for the entertainment, okay?
If you're here for the facts, you're the wrong podcast.
We are here to entertain you. That's why we give a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast.
Boom, baby.
We're here to educate and inform with entertainment.
Yeah.
That is it.
Hello. Welcome back to the Face Off with Fleming and Fowler.
Welcome back, y'all. We are back at it again one more time. Yeah.
Ooh.
And I'm on the struggle bus yet again.
Yeah, I also am. We lost an hour yesterday. We are springing forward, which is my least favorite time of year.
Why are we still doing that?
I thought we weren't. I thought every year they're like, oh, we're done with daylight savings. I heard this weekend someone was like, oh, Phoenix doesn't do it. Like Phoenix, Arizona just doesn't.
That's what I'm saying. I thought Congress voted on it to stop doing that. So why are we still in daylight savings? I don't understand.
No idea. And I love the idea of it being lighter.
Are you frozen or you just didn't respond?
Me? Am I still frozen?
Oh, you were frozen at one point, but it's okay. No, you're not frozen now. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just don't want to respond to your questions. Yeah. I love the idea of it being lighter later, but... Yes. It's just such a hurdle to climb, you know?
I agree. We already ain't got enough hours in a day. And, I won't say that. I'll say too many hours of the day are dedicated towards stuff I don't want to do, is like, you know, work a job, 9 to 5 and stuff like that.
Being an
adult. Like, I'm not going to do that shit. But, how was your week this past week though?
My week was fine. I have nothing to report. One of my friends turned 30 and she had a 80s prom themed birthday party in Houston, so I went to Houston this weekend.
I love how disrespectful that is. Your friend was born in the 90s,
yeah,
and had the nerve to have an 80s themed party.
We never got to experience it.
Yeah, because you weren't born, so you didn't need to. But you know what's crazy? It's like, now I see how my parents felt when like we do 70s theme parties and stuff like that. And it's like, I was born in the 80s, the early 80s. How dare you use it as a theme party?
Yeah, I saw these college kids having like a 2000s themed like frat party. And I was like, my culture is not your costume. You can't just...
Listen, that's the name of this episode. My culture is not your costume, damn it. Put some respect on the 80s, baby.
And it's so funny because she invited her whole family. So like her uncles, aunts, her parents were there.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this really how y'all dress? They were like, this is not, I don't know what y'all thought we did. Like, this is kind of how we dress, but.
Man, the 80s fashion was great. I feel like, honestly, the 90s to me was the best fashion year ever. The second runner up would be the 70s, but definitely the 90s.
Well, people are still trying to dress like the 90s. Everyone's bringing back 90s style.
Yeah, because it was the absolute best era, honestly, for fashion. It really was. It was the most forward fashion time, I think, in our lives ever.
That is kind of mad disrespectful, though, to like dress up. Do like this cosplay of a generation. These people are still alive. They're like, okay, cool.
Do you have any ruffle socks? Get the hell out of my face.
I need some.
Do you have any gauchos? Please?
Yeah.
Right. I need some knickerbockers, some capris. Yes. Like, really?
But it was fun. How was your week?
My week was really good up until the end of the week. Y'all, I just, my body has been struggling and I don't know what's going on, but we're going to try to figure it out. God is a healer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My back just started tweaking again and I don't know what I did, but I had to end up calling into work, last week and It was just a travesty. I almost went to the urgent care again, but I did not. I'm seriously contemplating going again, but we'll see. I'm trying to avoid getting another MRI because I kind of don't want to find out if something else is damaged. I really don't want to know. Ignorance is bliss. But anyway, it is, but I don't like getting an MRI, man. That MRI was scary. And I'm not a claustrophobic person, but
did they not give you anything?
No. They give you stuff in an MRI?
Oh, hell yeah, if you ask for it. I'm like, I took a Valium, I think, last time.
Nobody offered me any drugs.
I said, you better make sure I'm cool, calm, and collected in that motherfucker. That thing is so close to your face.
It is. It feels like you're about to be just like sucked up at any point in time. And even though you know you don't have any metal in your body, your brain tells you it's going to suck out something from your body. I don't know.
My thing is, we've talked about this before, but as soon as someone tells me not to do something, it's all I can think about doing. So they're like, don't move. I'm like, I got to move. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, and part of it, I wanted to like put my hands up in the air, like out, because I was like, God forbid, if this thing starts closing up or something malfunctions, because you know, you watch Grey's Anatomy, you watch all these Chicago Fire, all these crazy shows and stuff. Exactly. And it's like, you know, I just don't want anything like that to happen. So I need my hands free, because if my hands are stuck in there, I can't crawl my fat ass out. So
you're not about to get got in an MRI.
Hell no, that's not the way I'm going out. Oh no, ma'am, the devil is a liar and the truth ain't in him. Mm-mm. No, ma'am.
You need a bacchiectomy, I think.
I do. I really do. And as many physical therapists as I'm around every day at work, I need help. So I did some stretches. I'm gonna just tell you this though. I really want us to get a sponsorship with BioFreeze. BioFreeze, if you're listening out there, send me some products. Send me some stuff, because I use these BioFreeze lidocaine patches. I mean, they're all 4%, which I'm like, y'all need to approve at least 10% lidocaine patches. These 4% ain't hitting it, okay? And they had like this spray on BioFreeze, which it's cold as shit, but it works really, really good. Mm-hmm. And it helps to calm down the inflammation. I hate to sound like Trump, but I wish there was some type of way to like IV BioFreeze into your back.
Like a shot.
Put a little UV light.
One time dose.
Exactly. Like, why can't we just do like, you know, 4% lidocaine shots at the house with BioFreeze? You know, I think they should do something like that. And I would be the volunteer guinea pig for that. I really would. You know,
maybe we could start a company, like instead of IV infusions, we do like BioFreeze straight to the muscle.
Yeah, but none of us, that's not in our practice acts for PT or OT. We can't do needles unless it's dry needling, but we can't put meds on the end of it.
Potentially problematic. I do see that now.
Maybe we can just grab a nurse. We can grab a nurse.
Well,
we can grab
a dime a dozen.
We can grab Dr. Bailey. We can grab Dr. Bailey because she has a license to be able to do that. So we'll see about her. Yeah. Anything else you need to talk about before we go into what we're talking about?
No, I just need to say that the Oscars is going on right now as we're watching this. Everyone looks so good. I meant I said watching this. Zendaya looks great. Quinta looks phenomenal.
She does.
Who else did I see? I don't know. Vanessa Hudgens is fully pregnant, and she just announced it at the Oscars. So her belly is bumping.
Who's Vanessa Hudgens?
High School Musical.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Gabriella Montez from High School Musical. And now she's married to some baseball player.
I love, whose dress was that I saw? Hold on. Let me scroll back. Tiffany Haddish actually looked nice. She looked sober.
A nice thankfully. Thing about Tiffany Haddish?
I know, which that doesn't come out of my mouth very often, but she actually looked beautiful. I mean, she's a beautiful woman, but she got a lot of issues. Anyway, who was the one person that I saw? Divine Joy looked amazing, and she won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actress, which I love.
Her.
I root for everybody black. I was rooting for either her or Danielle. Well, her and Danielle Brooks. I didn't care which one of them won. I was voting for both of them. What's her name? Eva Longoria. Eva Longoria. I love her dress.
We love Eva Longoria. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, she looks beautiful. Danielle Brooks' dress looks really beautiful as well.
Who else? America Ferrera. She looks good always. Margot Robbie.
I didn't like Carrie Washington's dress. I don't know. Sometimes hers are hit or miss, but I'm not a fashion person because I can't dress. So who am I? Who are me to judge? But
Issa Rae in her black dress.
Yeah, she looks beautiful.
Looking good. I think she always looks beautiful.
Who, Issa Rae?
Uh-huh.
Oh, absolutely. She never misses. Erica Alexander. She looked beautiful.
I just beautiful, saw Divine Joy. This color looks so good on her.
I don't know whoever Divine Joy stylist is. They've been killing it this whole entire like press conference, you know, post movie press run. They've been killing it, just like Fantasia's stylist was during the press run for Color Purple.
This periwinkle blue dress with this blonde wig,
beautiful.
Also, it's beautiful. So easy for, I feel like, plus size women in Hollywood, it's so easy for them to just get like the shittiest fashion.
True.
But this looks so good, like made for her and still like hot couture fashionable, not just like this is what we had to choose from. So you got to pick something.
Well, because a lot of these, you know, celebrity style, not stylists, but celebrity, what are they called? Fashion designers, they always make what's on the runway and they don't make for the average everyday woman. And, you know, Divine Joy, people like Divine Joy and Danielle Brooks and, you know, Danielle Pinnock and, you know, some other plus size or thicker women, you know, they are the average woman. Like, you know, Tiffany Haddish is skinny as she is, or even Quinta or Kerry Washington. They are not the average woman. I mean, they do represent a good majority of women, but also too, there are people that exist with bigger bodies and, you know, not these curvy shaped bodies and whatnot. It's like, no, they deserve to look amazing as well too.
Yeah. Ooh, everyone does that. Blue color is everywhere and it looks good. Did you,
what, that periwinkle blue?
Yeah. Did you see Divine Joy's movie?
I saw bits and pieces of it. She did amazing. She deserved that Oscar. She deserved the Golden Globe, and she deserves that Oscar because she did a phenomenal job. She was, I feel like her Oscar, honestly, was like, you know how some people are nominated for Oscars? Jamie Lee Curtis, who literally had two lines in the whole entire fucking movie. And I love Jamie Lee Curtis, but I'm just saying, you didn't have enough lines in that movie to even deserve a nomination, but it is what it is.
Right.
Divine Joy, in this particular movie, she deserved to be nominated. She deserved to win that Oscar. Absolutely.
Wow.
She had more than two lines.
I tried to watch that Jamie Curtis movie, Everything Everywhere All at Once, the other day. Did you ever watch that?
I did. And she said two lines.
I couldn't. I was like, what is going on? I felt like I was on drugs the whole time trying to watch it.
That was probably their plan.
Probably. But yeah, Oscar's fashion was good this year. I'm seeing very good. It's good job, everybody.
Except for your homegirl. What's her name? Julia Fox, the one who dated Kanye with her tits all out. I'm like, ma'am, where are you? This is a prestigious event. Go
you
home.
Know the fashion girlies. She's
I guess crazy. She thinks she's Kim Kardashian. It's weird. It's really weird.
Yes. Did you see our little TikTok fave, Christy, was there?
Yes. With her husband, Desmond, yes. Mm-hmm. Did you see how she tried to she had a TikTok of what she was saying? She was trying to convince the Oscars to let her do a cartwheel on the red carpet. Yeah. I was like, Christy, if you don't sit your ass down. She's so beautiful. And I love that she doesn't take herself like super serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Oscars fashion is definitely beautiful. And congratulations to Divine Joy, who won for Best Supporting Actress. So. Well, I'll tell you what, with regard to women and just, you know, women in general, you know, March Madness is upon us and basketball season is about to close out, but we, you know, can't close out obviously without March Madness. And in the last 2 days, women's basketball has proven to be the sport to watch, as most of us already know who are fans and supporters of women's athletics. But yesterday, the University of Tennessee. Yes. Is it the University of Tennessee? The ones with the orange, that bright orange?
That's Tennessee, yes.
Yeah, Tennessee. University of South Carolina, the Gamecocks, they played for the SEC semifinal or quarterfinals, semifinals, whatever. Anyway, and literally Camilla Cardoza, who's their center, University of South Carolina, she hit the game-winning three to allow them to win by 1 point. It was an amazing game. Then today, South Carolina and LSU played against each other, had this huge brawl. Flage was like pummeled to the floor by Camilla Cardoza after having such an amazing game-winning event. And both teams had most of their team and people who came off the bench ejected. I was like, yo, what the heck?
Entire bench came up to the floor.
They did. Flajay's brother even hopped over the little announcer bench. I was like, yeah, he don't play by his sister now. But well, it was amazing.
I loved it because in the clips you see, is it Angel Reese kind of like shoved someone off of her? Someone like came up to her, so she just kind of shoved him away. And then out of
That was Flajay.
Was that Flajay? Out of the corner, yeah. You just see, boom, what's her face hit the ground. I was like, oh, yeah, it's over.
She did. And I feel like Carmilla shouldn't have done what she did, because I'm like, it was between Flajay and the other girl, and they were already kind of separated. Like, Raven was trying to separate it and trying to like, hey, y'all stop, you know? And then she just came and just pummeled her, just pushed her to the floor. And I'm like, and then people were trying to make it seem like, oh, this is what I do hate. This is what I hate. I hate the fact that when men have issues like this, or they have not issues, when they compete at a high level, which is going to have a lot of tension. So I feel like in women's sports, a lot of times, you know, or in men's sports, it's always these men can have these altercations or these competitive moments and stuff like that. Very tense, high tense moments. And, you know, nobody bats an eye. But as soon as the women do it, they're so classless. Oh, and I'm like, y'all realize this is competitive sports. Like,
yeah.
And this is what women's basketball has been doing for decades that y'all don't pay attention to. So when you say stuff like, oh, this is classes, I'm like, this is what happens at basketball games and at competitive women's sports. Like, if you actually bought a ticket and showed the hell up versus always talking about, oh, women's sports is so boring. No, the fuck it's not. And it's not all fighting either. It's just great games. Like, what the hell? It's so stupid. I hate people. But anyway.
I've always liked the female sports fights more than the men's sports. Men fights are dumb. Not that it's all about the fighting, but if I had to choose.
I mean, women's sports is just amazing. And I think from being a kid and seeing my sister play, you know, all 4 years of high school, and then she played in college, and being to so many games and seeing so many, you know, different types of players, like, women's basketball, women's sports in general is always going to be more exciting than men's sports to me. Always.
Yeah,
because the men are so predictable. You know what the hell they're going to do. It's so predictable. But women, like the WNBA, the WNBA to me is much greater, has much better talent than the NBA, bar none.
Yeah, it's more exciting. Games are always more exciting to watch.
Absolutely, which is frustrating that people don't buy tickets to go and see. Now, have I Have I purchased a ticket to go to UTSA's women's basketball? No. However, I don't go outside. So... But I will watch it, okay? I will give you the views. And I used to go to FAMU women's basketball games as well, because they were amazing, you know? But, yeah, shouts out to South Carolina. Shouts out to just, you know, LSU and just women's sports in general, especially women's basketball right now. Like, they are – it's like all eyes are on these young ladies. And I love the fact that they're getting the notoriety that they deserve. So
right. I agree.
Shouts out to them. The final – what were you talking about the Final Four? Something about this happening in San Antonio or something like that?
Next year, Final Four is going to be in San Antonio, our favorite place.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Maybe.
It's your favorite place. I mean, this is where you're born and raised, so, you know.
hate when they have stuff like that, because it just gets so packed.
What, the Final Four and stuff?
Yes, and then just there's just too many. Someone was telling me, because there's so much construction in San Antonio right now, so I was complaining, and they said it's expected that a million more people will be moving to San Antonio in the next like 1 or 2 years.
For what? We ain't got no room, baby. We closed.
Exactly. My point exactly.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Maybe I can sell my house. We'll see. I mean, I have no doubt that I'll be able to sell my house, because I'm in a very good area, but I don't know that I want to be here in the next year. Like, too many people. Living in San Antonio. It's too many people. Like, oh God. Yeah, that's too much. San Antonio was supposed to be like, you know, a little country, little city. No, everybody wants to move here for no reason.
For no reason. Get out. Stop moving to San Antonio.
Seriously, this is not the place you want to be. All we got is Riverwalk. That's it. Ain't nothing else here. Stop moving. Try to make it look as unenticing as possible.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what else was unenticing. Well, I'll tell you what was enticing. But for Republicans, maybe not. So did you see the State of the Union address by our friend, Dark Brandon? Joe Biden? Dark?
It's like,
that's what they call him. They call him Dark Brandon.
You already know that I didn't watch that, because I'm not the politic girly.
I mean, I'm not either. But I watched it, and it was, I got to say this. I mean, forget all the important points that he made, whatever. Nobody cares about that. I care more so about the fact that people were questioning Joe Biden's his memory and his capacity to make decisions as an 81-year-old. I am a part of that crowd. But Sleepy Joe was on it, okay, at the State of the Union. He didn't slur his words not one time. He didn't stutter not one time. Marjorie Taylor Greene was calling out just being a complete asshole and thug. She was being a complete piece of shit. But anyway, even when she was trying to distract him, he even, you know, was able to kind of come out of that perfectly fine. And I was just like, I was actually proud of Joe Biden. I was like, that's right, Joe Biden. You showed him that you still got it. You're still too old and you need to get on out. But this is what we're stuck with at this point.
But you think they gave him a shot of Epi right before he went out there?
They either gave him his meds or that was a stunt double, like an AI.
There's a lot of AI.
Too awake and alert. Yeah, did he you was see too awake and alert.
No one's seen from Kate Middleton in a while. And then it just got big in social media. And then randomly she was seen in a car. It's like a horribly blurry photo. And everyone's like, oh, that's a stunt double. So maybe
who
he had
Kate
a stunt
Middleton?
Double. The royals, like the prince's wife.
Oh, Prince, whatever his name's, the bald guy's
not
wife. Cute.
Not Harry. Who's the other one? William?
William. Yeah, he looks like his father.
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, you still can't convince me that whatever that man's name is, King, whoever his name is actually Prince Harry's father. I don't believe it. No, he looks nothing like it. He looks like his mother, but he definitely ain't got that male pattern baldness. That came from generations. That ain't that boy daddy. I'm not one to question somebody's, you know, DNA, but I'm just saying.
Math ain't mathing on that one.
The math ain't mathing on that one. I'll tell you what else is the math is not mathing on. We're going to get through this episode real quick, y'all, because my back is on fire. Anyway, I'll tell you what else the math is not mathing on. Churches, okay? And not Church's Chicken, like the church, like Jesus the Christ, the church.
But argument can be made for Church's Chicken.
Exactly. So, I would, you know how, like, on Sundays, I'll watch, like, certain ministries, like their live stream and stuff like that. And so what I do not like in this day and time with regard to media is the fact of how invasive church media has become. You know, church is a place I personally feel, this is my personal opinion, I feel like church is a place for you to just let loose, be vulnerable, have that, you know, community relation with God, and to be able to kind of, you know, have your experience, go to the holies of holies, go beyond the veil, right, to meet Jesus, right? And I feel like we're already in sexual Jesus church, where most churches are like, they have the lights turned down low, they have the little smoke machines going, and it's a whole vibe, right?
Right.
Here's what I don't need. If I'm trying to get to Jesus and trying to get to the holies of holies and beyond the veil, what I don't need is a camera in my face showing all my crying, my snot, so you can make a great video for your media ministry. Because here's what I'm going to start doing, okay? If I go to a church and your cameraman puts a camera in my face, I'm going to do one of these. I'm going to do just like this, and I'm going to fuck up your entire media with me. You're not going to ever be able to get away with that, and I'm never going to apologize for it, because I think it's so invasive, and you should have a worship pit where the people who don't mind shouting and doing whatever, record them. Don't record the rest of the church. It's just so disrespectful to me. What are your thoughts?
I didn't know that they were recording the congregation, because I've always just seen them recording the pastor, which makes sense. Don't record me. You don't need to know what I'm doing. Not that I don't want people to know I'm there. That seems like the wrong thing I'm trying to say, but like, this is my personal time to be here. Don't show me.
I get it. It's a public space or whatever the case may be, but I just personally feel like this is not a time for you to make your YouTube, you know, little shorts and your reels to say, hey, come join my ministry. Like,
yeah, but I feel like church has become this bigger than church thing lately with all the, and I get that with COVID especially, like you had to adapt and be more online and have a social media presence and try to attract these people. But I'm like,
true.
Just leave some things alone.
It's invasive. And it to me, it's very disrespectful, because again, you know, this is a private time for myself. This is a sensitive time for people. And again, it's a community relational situation, but not to be exploited for the purposes of your marketing. And I know marketing people gonna get mad. You can't whoop my ass, so fuck you. How about that? All I'm saying is, you record me, I'm gonna fuck up all your socials. I'm telling you now, any church I go to, if you do it to be petty and come back to this thing, I promise you, I will purposefully fuck up your socials. You play at me if you want to. I'll show you better than I can tell you. which is why I stay my ass out of the building.
I go to early church most of the time, which means I roll out of bed, maybe brush my hair. It's just I'm going to see the Lord, and that's it. I don't need to be on camera.
That's it. I remember like one of my pastors, which I haven't had very many, but my current pastor now, who still, because I still, you know, watch their live stream, which is Love and Faith Community Church in Tallahassee, Florida. And so I remember having a conversation with the pastor one time, and Pastor Lamar Simmons, and he said to me, he was like, why do you always just come into church right when I get up to preach? He was like, it's like, you know, when I'm about to get up and preach. And I'm like, yeah, because I don't want to hear all this other shit that's going on. People get up here and they want to sing their own concerts. I don't come for all of that. I worship God on a daily basis. Okay. I praise God on a daily basis. I don't need a full-fledged sexual Jesus encounter with this person who wants to go on American Idol and prove that they can do riffs and runs. I don't want to hear all that. I come from for the word, to get fed, to get the hell on for the week. And I'm going to leave my offering with the usher. I don't need all this extra stuff. And I need you to be okay with that. So we're moving on.
I like a couple songs. I like a good vibe. My mom is like at church on time. Like she's 10 minutes before. And I'm like, can I just get there with the meat? I want the meat. I don't need all this other stuff. Give me the
word.
Your
mom gets to church early?
It starts at 8 a.m. She's probably there at 7:45.
Oh, no. I got to show. If church starts at 8, well, okay, for Black church, if church starts at 8 o'clock, I'm showing up at 9:15. Absolutely. Because I know that's when all the praise dance is going to be done. The rap ministry going to be done. All they're going to sing 30,000 out songs. The choir going to be done. And I know the pastor going to be getting up around 9:15.
Smart.
White church, I may just do 8:30 because that's when the pastor going to be up.
Yeah, they're pretty. They keep it pretty on time.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, too, it's because of the way I grew up. And we were heavily involved in church and having to do all of that stuff. And as an adult, I will not relive the trauma of my childhood.
You have PTSD.
I do, from opening up the church and being there, turning on the lights, turning on the sound system, all that. I mean, I've done all of that. I've literally been in media, you know what I'm saying? Like I've done all of it, and I don't want to do it anymore. I'm making a conscious choice not to.
Yeah, there you go. Protect yourself.
That's right. What were you telling me about Mike Todd? I guess protected himself. Sort of speaking.
So Mike Todd is the pastor of Transformation Church, which became this like, they were, to me, one of the first big like Instagram, TikTok churches. I just remember seeing them on social media all the time because it was like these young pastors, and they dressed like they were fresh off Yeezy season 3 and
sexual Jesus.
Yes, very sexual Jesus. Very we're young and we're going to speak very casually to everyone, but we want to get the word out.
Yeah.
And I feel like things just keep happening. When they were doing Sunday service, I think Kanye came there too. And did Sunday service. I don't know, just random things. And everyone is like questioning my God. But he just went on this rant, basically, kind of, I guess, because one of the leaders in his church is leaving. Another leader is leaving, was called by God, was being told that they should leave the church and go somewhere else. And I just don't think that you, as a pastor or, I don't know, a employer, a boss, should be getting up on these stages, kind of like low-key talking shit about these people for wanting to leave your church.
So he made a comment about one of his leaders leaving?
Yeah, just about how he's like, I don't know. What is the word I'm looking for?
5, 6, 7, 8.
He alluded to the fact that like, well, I mean, God's telling him to leave, but I don't really think God, like he's saying God's telling him to leave, but I didn't really get that message from that man. So, you know,
so it ain't true.
God ain't telling me shit about him. So you just can't tell me what you can't comment on what I'm saying God is telling me to do.
Yeah.
Even if that man is lying, you can't fucking say whether or not he's being told by God to leave.
Well, I just feel like it's the spiritual manipulation of it all. I feel like pastors, and here's the thing. I am not a pastor, have never wanted to be one. And I just feel like there are pastors and preachers who spiritually, mentally, and emotionally manipulate people all the time. So we talk about as therapists, how, as you know, I'm a physical therapist. Alyssa is an occupational therapist. And we do. It is very true. We manipulate our patients every single day, but we manipulate them for the greater good so that they can get better. Right. And I feel like there are a lot of pastors and preachers who are out there who spiritually abuse, emotionally abuse, mentally abuse people in the congregation to get what they want out of them. right? For their own selfish reasons. My only reasoning as a therapist, as a physical therapist, is to try to get the patient well enough to be able to go back home to accomplish goals that they would like to reach, right? Which is walking again, being able to sit up by themselves, being able to get back to their prior level of function, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of these pastors and preachers, they use the guise of spirituality and God to say, well, no, if I didn't hear it from God, then I know you didn't hear it from God. So then that means that your spirit is off. Well, wait a minute. Who the hell you think you're talking to? Because I know God for myself, bitch. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like for Mike Todd, it's less about the people of God and more about your selfish agenda. Because my thing is, I did hear the whole message. I heard the whole message. I didn't just hear just the clickbait. But the way that he sounded was a very scorned type of person, because again, in ministry, people leave all the time. It's just like any other job. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
just because you attach spirituality to it doesn't mean that it's still not a job. It's a conscious choice that you make to say yes to the will of God for your life. And if God changes that will, he don't necessarily have to clear it with you, pastor. And the fact that you think that is spiritual manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bullshit, really. That's what it is. And I hate that, you know, pastors do that, because you lose so many people by doing shit like that and just lying and just, well, you know, I mean, he said he was led by God. Why you had to put it in quotation marks? You get up on the pulpit every Sunday talking about how God told you this and God told you that. So this person can't hear from God? You're the only person that they can hear their voice?
Yeah. It was just giving like scorned supervisor talking shit about an employee that's getting more money at their next job. I'm like, well, you don't have to put all that attitude behind it. Just say
exactly
you're praying for them and keep it the fuck moving.
He could have easily, you know, gotten into some other type of way of listen. When the voice of God tells you to leave, go ahead and leave. You didn't have it was very like distasteful. I really didn't like that. But then also too, I did see an interview on the Breakfast Club this week with Ty Tribbett, who's a gospel artist, mm-hmm. a very well-known gospel artist. And he kind of came in almost like a new generation of like Kirk Franklin. Like, you know how you have, you know, every generation there's like a newer person that comes and kind of takes the ministry or takes the genre a little bit further, right? Yeah. And so he was recently on the Breakfast Club, and he's a pastor himself, and he was talking about the institution of church and how the way that they do church, and I assume he was talking about the Black church in particular, but he may be talking about just church in general. He said verbatim, the institution of church is whack. The way we conduct business as a church is whack. So everybody heard that, and people just got on their little, you know, think pieces and on their platforms and pages and talking about, mm-hmm. how dare you talk about the church is whack when you benefited from it. First of all, the man said very clearly, I have benefited the most from the church because, again, not only am I a pastor, but I'm also a gospel artist. He was like, but at the same time, the church is no longer about the people. That's what it's turning into. It's no longer about the people. And I'm like, comprehension is just so important, y'all. Like, listen to what people are actually saying versus jumping your ass out there and saying, how dare he? Because even, what's his name? Pastor Mike Jr. He's like another, like, I guess you can say Mike Todd-esque type preacher. I mean, I listen to a lot of his sermons. I think he's very good at what he does. But I'm just like, dude, you are way off kilter to try to come out and rebuke somebody and say, well, no, the church ain't whack. And da-da-da-da. He didn't say the church was whack, bitch. You don't fucking listen. He said the institution of what it has become. And you just proved his point. The fact that mm-hmm. you did not comprehend what the hell this man actually said. You created in your own brain what you thought he said versus looking at the actual words of what this man said. Like, it's, ugh, I hate it.
And he's not wrong, because church has just gotten so big. It just feels like a new industry. It's bigger than, I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah. And I mean, let's be clear. Church is a business. I know a lot of people like to say stuff like, oh, the pastor's taking the money. here's the thing. So is Walmart. Walmart is taking your money too, okay? And they're using it for evil stuff. The government is funding genocide with your tax dollars. So shut the fuck up. Everybody uses money for evil, even the church, okay? Let's just be clear about that. Not only that, church is a business. And people look at these churches as if, you know, every church is a mega church, like it's a Lakewood or like it's a Potter's House. And that's not true. Most churches, I would be remiss to say, now these ain't no proven statistics, okay? So don't come here for statistics because you ain't gonna get them. But all I'm saying is most, I would say about 80% of churches in America, whether you're Black, white, Hispanic, Puerto Asian, Rican, whatever, or Asian. Puerto Rican, exactly. Like most churches probably make less than, even if they don't pay taxes on it, probably make less than $300,000 a year, okay, or $400,000 a year, even if they don't pay taxes. Now, there are some people who are like, the pastor got a Rolls Royce. You don't know how that pastor got that Rolls Royce. If they sell the drugs on the side, you don't know what the hell these people are doing with this money. But also, too, you can't expect to come to a church building and not pay no rent or a mortgage for a building. You cannot expect to not have AC, to not have lights. And I don't care if you say, well, we only there Sundays and for Bible study during the week, one day during the week. Yeah, and it still costs money to do that as well, too. If you have a church administrator, they need to get paid. If the pastor's on a full salary and they don't work a job, they choose to be in full-time ministry, whatever. Church is a business. It's a business. And this idea that y'all think all of this money is funneled through the church, that's not... Look at your local storefront church. I can guarantee you they ain't got shit ton of money flowing through there. Most of these people can barely even, this is why they trying to lock the doors while you trying to give offering and begging people for money, because they don't have it. Now, there is a piece of the puzzle, again, with every industry, mismanagement of funds, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, that happens as well too. But let's stop making it seem like every church that you encounter is a mega church, because it ain't.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-mm-mm. Anyway, I went off on a tangent on that, but I'm back.
She feels very, very passionate about the church.
It's not just, but you know what it is too, because I grew up in church. I grew up in the Black church, right? And so I've been a part of a church where the pastor actually stole the money. And you know what? Wow. I ain't got shit to do with me. You know why? Because if I'm paying tithe and offering, I'm paying that to God. Okay, what you choose to do with that money, I cannot be held accountable for it. Just like, again, our taxpayer dollars are being used to fund genocide right now actively, and there ain't shit we can do about it. You can't not pay taxes, okay? Try to see and your ass gonna be in federal prison. Okay? That's all I'm saying. So let's stop making these dumbass arguments as if you can somehow control where your funds go. The only way you can control your funds is if you choose not to go to that ministry and not pay a tithe and offering.
That's true.
But anyway, what were you telling about Mike Tyson?
So glad we're talking about money and how to make it, because Mike Tyson is about to make a lot of it. Mike Tyson is set to fight Jake Paul in the ring in Arlington, Texas at AT&T Stadium, and it is going to be streamed on Netflix at the end of July. That is crazy to me that they're doing this.
He gonna end up like $1 million baby. Jake Paul.
I hope to God that Jake Paul loses, but it's just, I don't know. My immediate thought is like, something bad's gonna happen to Mike Tyson. That man is old.
Yeah, but have you seen him training lately?
I have not, but I just saw the video of them doing their little face-off thing where they stand eye to eye and they look all tough. And I was like, he just looks old.
You know what I think it is? I think for Mike Tyson, I think Mike Tyson has done a lot of personal work on himself. And I do not feel that this level of Mike Tyson that we think is going to show up is really not going to show up, because Jake Paul is not a real fighter. So I don't, and I think that Mike Tyson has way more restraint than we give him credit for, that he is not going to kill this kid in a ring, because Mike Tyson, even at 55, 56, can still absolutely knock Jake Paul's complete head off and kill him in that ring. But I don't think he will let him. Yeah, I don't think he has the strength to do it. He has the strength and the stamina. I think because of Mike Tyson's maturity level and the work that he's done on himself, he's not going to unleash a beast that's going to do that. It's going to be more so for entertainment, and they probably going to get to all these rounds to get this money. He ain't going to knock about in the first 30 minutes, first 30 seconds. That's not going to happen. I mean, I wish it would, but I don't think it will.
Do you think this gives Jake Paul clout, like some kind of weird clout, because he's fighting Mike Tyson?
I do.
I do too. And like, that's a big fucking deal.
It is. And I think too, because even Clarissa Shields, who is a world-class champion boxer, she mm-hmm. is a heavyweight, I think she's heavyweight for women, and she's also an Olympic gold medalist as well, several time Olympic gold medalist. He wanted to fight her as well too, or somebody asked her like, would you fight the likes of Jake Paul? And she was like, bitch, don't try me, don't ever disrespect me. She was like, I'm a trained and skilled fighter. She was like, he won't even be on my card, don't play with me. And I think also too, again, then this gives other people the opportunity to get on here, other TikTokers and YouTubers to get on mm-hmm. here and just say, oh well, I want to race, you know, Marion Jones, I want to race Sonya Richards Ross or Allyson Felix just for some fucking money. And I'm just like, these people train their entire lives to be a professional, and just because you want to talk shit on the internet and you make millions of dollars, that's not a reason to get in the ring for them. I mean, it is making money, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, they're 30 years apart, so there's that. Mike Tyson is one of the most notable boxers. And absolutely. I think this is the first live sporting event that Netflix is going to broadcast. I'm like, these people are going to make, this is going to be crazy. They're going to be making hell of money.
Which is why Mike Tyson has enough restraint to not knock this kid out in the first 30 seconds. Because I can almost guarantee, this is alleged, but I can almost guarantee allegedly that Netflix told Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, y'all got to at least get to 6 rounds because we need to make some money off ads and all this other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the more rounds you do, the more millions you're going to get. I want to see a copy of this contract. I really do.
Oof. So I'm very excited. I don't even like boxing that much. I did want to see the George Foreman movie. Not that that really has to do with boxing. I mean,
He was a boxer.
We'll connect it that mm-hmm. way. But anyway, that's an exciting thing to look forward to this summer, everybody.
I hope he knocks his whole head off. I really do. But
I would love to see it.
It's going to be a rigged fight.
Has to be.
It's going to be a rigged fight.
Has to be.
Speaking of other things that are rigged, what were you talking about a Florida school and OnlyFans?
All right. Leesburg, Florida. Ever heard of it?
Yes, unfortunately.
Okay. There is a mother who's very upset because her daughter, the school is threatening to kick her daughter out of school. The mom has an OnlyFans account that she advertises through her Instagram. And so her daughter's school, like students at the school, found the Instagram, found the mom's OnlyFans, and were kind of spreading it around the school. And it was quote unquote disruptive to the classroom. And they said, either you take the OnlyFans down or you remove your daughter from the school. Isn't that crazy?
I'll be like, how about neither? And I'm gonna sue the shit out of y'all. Cause what my job got to do with y'all raggedy ass students? If y'all students can see porn on OnlyFans, they need to, their parents need to be checking their phones.
Yeah. And I guess cause it's a private Christian school, right? So they're like, well, this goes against our morality clause. But I'm like, I pay tuition just like everybody else. And why don't you teach your kids to be respectful of everyone instead of trying to, you know, get rid of me and my daughter from the school? Why don't you, you know, have some class, pray for me.
That's what I'm saying. The hypocrites. Like, here's my thing. I remember there was a pastor that said, I don't care if you bring drug money up in here. I'm a collect a tithe. And I think that's a smart thing. Who cares? I don't care if you use it for drugs.
Who cares?
Like, my thing is, students are going to share porn. All right, that's just what they do, okay? Unfortunately. But the students should not be held accountable for the mother's actions, nor should the mother's actions or their job be any of your business. I don't care if she was a stripper at the local titty bar. At the end of the day, is the child harmed at the house? And is the tuition paid?
Jesus loved prostitutes.
David danced until he was naked. Did he not in the Bible?
Come
David
on.
David danced out of his clothes. Now, she dancing for a different reason. Private dancer, dancing for money. Do what you want them to do. Tina Turner. All I'm saying is, stop hating on that lady because you got to go to a 9-to-5 and she get to shake her ass for 2 seconds and make millions of dollars.
And I sit here and I just try to think, like, okay, if my kid was in school and I knew one of the other hot moms was an OnlyFans account holder making all this money, and my kid came home from school and was like, this is what we're taught, this is what all the kids are talking about, I don't know that I would go to the principal and be like, immediately, this person needs to be removed, I don't want my child around this. I would tell my kid, stop being a little piece of shit. Well, how exactly would you feel if this was me and we're talking about your mom like this? You need to be respectful. Exactly.
And my thing is too, like, again, this mother is trying to make a living. A single mom who works too hard, who loves her kids.
And she's making enough money to send her freaking daughter to private school.
I mean, it's the same thing with Rachel Dolezal. Now, she deserved to get fired just because she tried to cosplay a black woman. But I'm just saying, like, who gives a shit? My thing is, why not put the responsibility back on the parents that your children should not have access to OnlyFans and watching this shit? And anybody who's distributing porn, mm-hmm. no matter if it's, you know, Becky's mom or whoever, if you're distributing porn, you will get suspended because you shouldn't be distributing porn. It doesn't matter that it's the mother of one of the students.
Yeah, I think this is bullying, and I don't like it.
It is. Let that lady shake her ass for some money.
Amen. Like, amen. Jesus. Y'all are just, there's something about OnlyFans that triggers people so bad. I do not understand it.
It's because they're making money in 2.2 seconds, and everybody else is not probably. Able to.
I make what you make in a year, in a, like a week.
Exactly. It's because they secretly want to do it, but they know they can't. Because they either ugly or ain't got the body for it.
And that's on you.
I'd be like, can I do physical therapy on OnlyFans and make some money?
Just you with a goni with some just girl in her underwear.
Exactly. What do I need to measure today? I think that could be profitable. I do.
Yeah, we should start it up. Let me know how it goes.
Well, you know what else is profitable? I'm going to just tell you this. I want to announce officially that I am officially moving to Kentucky and I'm getting pregnant before the end of the year. And the reason why is because of the fact that Kentucky, I think it's their Senate. Let me get the story for you. The Kentucky Senate actually just voted last week that they would grant the right to collect child support for children during the pregnancy stage. So you know how a lot of these states are saying, oh, a child is a human being at conception, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And if you terminate it, you're killing somebody because embryos have more rights than women, right? Who actually carry these sons of bitches. Anyway, and so Kentucky, they have now proposed to their Senate that women should start being able to collect child support from conception. So I'm moving to Kentucky.
As they should. Yeah. No, you should.
And if I'm getting knocked up.
If I'm being legally required to carry this child to term and life mm-hmm. begins at conception, then you can start paying my ass from the second we conceive.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree 1,000%.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to file a tax return.
Thank you. And so it apparently won like a 36-2 vote, which will allow parents to retroactively seek child support payments up to 1 year after giving birth as well. And I don't know if there's like a cap on how many pregnancies you can do, but I would try to stretch it out.
But I'm gonna do my job to make it as many as I can.
Absolutely, definitely. On average, every year I'm getting pregnant. So congratulations to me. I'll let y'all know what the baby shower is.
I'll send the gift.
Yeah, I'll send you guys my P.O. box. but yeah, did you hear about how the Biden administration has recently just capped credit card fees to no more than $8.
I did hear something about that. And good for them because, I mean, I'm not going to be paying mine off anyway, but that's great.
Yeah,
no. I hate a late fee.
Yeah, I just love the fact that, you know, these are junk fees because even too, I've heard and I've seen it for myself. I won't say which bank I'm with because I don't want them to come after me, but I don't want them to Wendy Williams me, but I ain't got Wendy Williams money. But anyway, not yet. Anyway, so I know some banks purposefully will hold your transactions to make sure you get down to like a zero balance or below. And then they'll start taking all that shit out so they can put late fees on your stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that they capped these late fees now or credit card fees to now $8. But these are just credit cards, not necessarily like your checking account, but just credit
what
card
I
fees.
Need him to do is cap my student loans.
Cap the interest on that to $8.
Shit is like insane. Mm-hmm.
You can't charge more than $8 on interest for as long as you are alive.
I know. So we'll see. I feel like as the elections get closer, they're all doing these things to get people to get excited and want to vote for him. So
oh, listen, maybe. I'm ready for him and Trump to duke it out. As soon as Trump says he's paying off everybody's student loans, I'm a Republican.
Did you? I heard the statistics and not on a TikTok, so I know it's real. I think I heard it on NPR. I don't want to botch it, but it was something like 1 in 6 black Democrats who voted for Biden last time are now voting for Trump or something crazy.
That's a lie.
when they ran their polls, like when they ran all the preliminary polls, I was like, that is insane.
That's a lot. Check the numbers.
I just told you the numbers.
No, that's not real. I'm going to tell you why. If you look back at... Hold on.
Wrong.
It's wrong. Because if you look back at the last election, the 2016 election, right? 2020 election. Not the 2016.
You just blocked out last 4 years.
The 2020 election, right? Look at the stats of the numbers of which Black people voted for Trump and the amount of Black people that voted for Biden, okay? It is a staggering difference. And again, we are still stuck in the land of the lesser of two evils. This man is outwardly saying he is going to be a dictator and then trying to say, oh, I've done more for Black people than anybody. Really, Harriet Tubman? Your name's Harriet Tubman? Your name's Shirley Chisholm? Your name's Rosa Parks? What the fuck is wrong with you, you clown?
Okay, I'm not trying to get off topic.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Did you see all the things on social media about how Harriet or how Rosa Parks's husband had a car? And why was she taking the bus? Did you see all that?
I did see that, but people are weird. I think people really need, this is why we need to put American history back in the schools, because people just are dumb. Cause you know what also too, you know what, who also had cars, right? People who boycotted the Montgomery bus boycott. Okay. Like the busing system. A lot of those people also had cars and they still boycotted the buses, yeah. Right? To make a point. So it's just as bad as this girl saying, oh my God, Trump won California. He turned California red. And I'm like, baby, it's March. The whole election is not until November, you jackass.
Oh,
please bring back civics classes. I mean, I'm not the most political, but goddamn, I know the difference between a primary and the actual election.
The American education system, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a product.
Girl, I sometimes wonder why. Lord Jesus. It's insane. What have you been watching?
Okay, I have been watching one thing. Let me tell you about it. Did you ever watch True Detective on HBO?
No.
Okay, do you like kind of true crime, dark?
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey vibes. Okay. The first season of True Crime is so good. One of the best shows I've ever watched. It's true. It's like a true crime series. I mean, not real, obviously. But
where did you watch it on?
HBO.
Okay.
And Matthew McConaughey is like peak. He does such a good job. The first season, chef's kiss, phenomenal. Second season, trash. So after the second season, I was like, I'm not fucking doing this. And they're, it's one of the shows where like each season is a different story. So you don't have to necessarily watch it in order. So I never watched 3 because 2 was horrible, but I keep hearing things about season 4. So I was like, all right. I'll watch season 4. Bitch, this shit. I'm just like hooked from the first episode. It's on some like Stranger Things, but detective true crime shit. Jodie Foster is the sheriff in town, so we already love it. But I think you would like it. You should try it.
Oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it's based in like, I want to say Alaska, so it has a lot of that, like, is it Inuit culture? Is that correct?
Yes, Inuit is the correct
which
word.
Is very interesting to see the people and the life up there. So yeah, if you have HBO Max, I would take a gander.
That's cool.
What are you watching?
That's really cool. I actually just saw my, cause I got my hair braided, yesterday, my hair braider braids by Ray, Rachel, we were watching this series called The Patient on Hulu, and it actually came out in 2022, but it's a thriller. And so it stars, Steve Carell, and this is like a drama. Like this is it's a thriller or whatever, but he's not being funny in this whatsoever. And then the other guy's name is, Domhnall Gleeson. Anyway, and so this show is about basically this young man comes to Steve Carell. Steve Carell's character plays a psychiatrist. And so the guy comes to him because he's basically a fucking psychopath. Anyway, he ends up kidnapping Steve Carell. And basically he has this fetish and this desire to kill people. And so he figures, well, if I just kidnap this psychiatrist, then I could tell him all my deep, dark secrets and he won't, you know, that he can help fix me in a couple of days. there's so many twists and turns, but this show pissed me off so bad because I was just like, this is not real. This is not real. I mean, I do believe that psychopaths kidnap people, absolutely. But Steve Carell's character was such a bitch. And I'm like, dude, you're not even trying to fight to get out of this situation. You're not even trying to help yourself. Not one time did he try to swing at the guy, throw nothing at him, try to escape. And I'm like, bitch, what? And then he's like, he meditates and just go off on these tangents and whatnot. Then he starts talking to David Alan Greer, who's his dead psychiatrist. I'm like, bitch, I'm not saying go watch it. All I'm saying is that's what I watched.
All right. Good to know. Good to know.
That shit was pissing me off. God, dog, it was pissing me off so bad. But anyway, yeah, that was pretty much all I watched. I didn't watch anything else this week.
So I'm not going to add that to my list, but thank you.
No, don't do it. It wasn't worth it. It was on Hulu, though, if you want to watch it. But if you're a Steve Carell fan. But yeah, it was. And then it talked about a whole bunch of Jewish stuff, which was so unrelated to the movie. Okay, if you're Jewish, please tell me how this related to the movie. So Steve Carell's character, his son, their family is Jewish, right? Mm-hmm. Then the son ends up marrying this girl who's an Orthodox Jew, right?
Ooh,
and so
okay.
Orthodox Jews, of course, have all these different rules and regulations and all this kind of stuff. And so they're pretty much ostracized. He not necessarily he's ostracized, but he decides to kind of separate from his family because, you know, he's like, oh, well, I grew up this way, but I want to be this way. And I converted to this because of this girl, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like he's having flashbacks of like Auschwitz and stuff. And I'm like, what the hell does this have to do with the psychopath that's trying to kill people? It was weird. I hate that we watched that. But anyway.
I was like,
why are Jewish people in this? It was so unrelated to the storyline. I was just like, you're forcing something down our throats that should not be there. It's a round peg in a square hole or something. I don't fucking know. It was weird. Anyway, neither here nor there. Anything else you've been watching?
No, nothing like that.
Okay, cool beans.
Oh my gosh, that's all I got.
All right, anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
No, let's let the people go.
All right, y'all. Well, thank y'all so much for listening to another episode of the Face Off of Fleming and Fowler. Just remember, sexual genius. And
wait, I'm sorry. I do have one thing.
Okay, let's hear it, babes.
Okay, did you hear all the shit about the Cyrus family?
Like Miley Cyrus?
Like Miley and her mom, the sisters.
No.
Okay, do you remember? I think we might have talked about it, but how Tish Cyrus, who is the mom, she mm-hmm. got remarried, but only Miley and her oldest daughter Brandy were at the wedding and the other kids weren't. Okay, you remember that?
I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. And everyone was like, oh, it's because they're on team Billy Ray Cyrus and then you know, whatever. Well, it came out that actually Noah, the youngest daughter, was dating mm-hmm. the guy that the mom ends up marrying right before the mom started talking to him.
Okay.
Isn't that wild? So that's why they're not talking, because she was like, I was just dating him and now my mom's marrying him. What the fuck? Isn't that wild?
Well, you know, people do strange things.
Hollywood. Anyway, that's what I found out this week. I thought it was crazy.
I mean, you said something like it was going to be mind blowing, like game changing.
Oh, no. I'm just, that was.
You just remembered it.
I just remembered it. Anyway, okay. Yeah, that's it. Everyone have a great week.
Judge you for it. Yeah, everybody have a great week on purpose. Y'all remember to spread love.
Spread light. And don't forget to laugh your face off. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of The Face Off with Fleming and Fowler. Don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at The Face Off Pod. Be sure to tune in to The Face Off every Tuesday when new episodes are released.